Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thou on depressions to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
I would ask that you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And I promise that this will be the last time you see this bit of a commercial, I guess, as far as my information to get to you in the future for those who continue to visit and attend here and come to be a part of this church. I'll make sure that my contact information is in every bulletin every Sunday. I want to keep that in there. This will be the last time I put it up on the screen. I can promise you that. But just for those who have still not yet been able to copy down and write down the ways to get a hold of me, the best two ways. Of course, you can call the church and you can get a hold of other people who would have my contact information, but my phone number and then, of course, an email as well. And please contact me. Don't feel like, well, I'll let he's the new guy. I'll let him stay there for a while. I don't want to bother him. I want you to bother me. I'm asking you to bother me. If it's too much, I'll gently push back and say, all right, give me a break. But I've not gotten to that point yet. And so I know they say, be careful what you wish for, but I want to be your pastor. And I want to be able to pray for you, to be able to serve you, to talk, to meet. Don't feel like you have to leave me alone for a little while. Again, I want to be your pastor and help me, let me, allow me to do just that for you. Today, as well as last week, is a two-week series that I've simply called, I couldn't think of anything that was more creative or better applicable, Gather, Grow, Go. And if you were here last week or were able to participate online or maybe watch the service later on in the week, last week we covered what I meant by gather. To gather in worship, which is what we're doing this morning at the 11 o'clock service at First Baptist Church Fairley, but also to gather in fellowship. And then at the end of last week, I transitioned to grow and what it means for a healthy church to grow. By the way, these three words, gather, grow, and go, are signs of a healthy church. A healthy church gathers. A healthy church grows. And a healthy church goes. And we'll finish up our discussion with what grow means and then finish as well, go, this morning. What do I mean by these things? And we talked last week and we ended looking up a bunch of different verses on spiritual growth. My point was that I wanted to make at the end of the service last week is how important growth is in a church. When people ask, hey, how's your church doing? When pastors ask each other about growth, generally speaking, we mean numbers. How many people? And that's not a bad thing. Numbers mean people, which means souls. That's not a bad thing at all. But I care much more about healthy spiritual growth as opposed to growth in the church. You did not hear Pastor Ben say he doesn't care about people coming to this church. That is not what I said. I want this church to grow numerically. I can't wait to see that, and I believe it will happen in the days, weeks, months, years ahead. I look forward to that. But the primary evidence of a healthy church is spiritual growth. A few more thoughts as I continue to focus on growth and why spiritual growth is vitally important and healthy for church. Healthy spiritual growth needs more than 1 hour a week. This is in response to what I talked about last week. You cannot just come 11 o'clock, sit down, sing, pray, observe, study, be dismissed, go home, and call that spiritual growth. Now, can you grow on your own, in your own Bible study, and in your own prayer time? Yes, and yes, and yes. But the intention, as we see in the early church, and the intention from the New Testament, is that we grow together as we grow closer to Christ. And that cannot happen just being here, leaving, and calling it good. And that is my point. So how can you grow at First Baptist Church fairly? Some of these things you know much better than I do, and you are a part of these things, and you've been a part of these things for a very long time. And so this is telling you something you already know. But for all of us together, I want to understand and get our minds together on the understanding of what is growth and how can you grow at fairly. It's a waste of time for me to say, you got to grow, if I don't actually tell you what that looks like here in this local church. So what does it look like? One option would be Sunday school classes. And again, this is old news for many of you who are a part of our Sunday school classes. We have 4 or 5 different options for you, and I foresee a time in the future where we will have more and more options, Sunday school classes available. As classes grow and as classes choose to split off and to meet in other areas because they've outgrown the room, those are good problems to have. I didn't say they were easy, I didn't say they were fun, but it's a good problem to have. And that is my goal, to see this church grow in their Sunday school classes. But that is one way to grow spiritually. Again, for some of you, you're thinking, I've done that for years. I was born in a Sunday school class. That's, of course, expected. Other people have said, I honestly have never been a part of a Sunday school class in my life, and I'm not really sure what to expect. And it's kind of scary starting something brand new where I don't know anybody there. I completely understand. But let's not use any excuse that we can put up on the board to keep us from growing. Sunday school classes are one way that you can grow here at First fairly. That's not the only one, though. There are already, and I hope to see more, small group Bible studies and gatherings. What do I mean by that? Well, I know that the women come together, and I believe their ministry is called SALT, and I know that one of the focuses they do are Bible studies. I know that the men's brotherhood comes together once a month, correct me if I'm wrong, and studies and grows together. Those are two options of which we could see many. Those don't have to be the only two options, but I know those are two options right now that our church already provides for both men and women to grow. It is not a church service. We wouldn't ever refer to it as a worship service. What is it? A time to come together, be with other people, and to study God's word, and to grow. That's another option we have at First Baptist Fairly. And I encourage you, if you're not a part of one of those growth, pray about possibly starting that one. Another option would be our Sunday evening Bible study. Yes, this is a shameless plug for what I'm starting tonight. I don't apologize for that. One way that you can grow is to attend and maybe start for the first time ever. I would be honored if you would come join me tonight at 6 o'clock right here in this room up front. It is not a worship service. It's not intended to be a worship service. In fact, I will teach much differently than normally you will hear me preach. They are two different things. They're a little fuzzy as far as what they mean separately. But on a Sunday morning service, you're going to hear me preach the word. Sunday evenings, my plan is to teach the word. And they are two different things, which is why I would insist, bring something to write down. Unless it's a complete distraction, and some people really, when they're writing notes, they can't hear. That's fine. Don't bring anything. I would rather you just pay attention and listen. But if you're okay with taking notes, bring a notebook, bring a pen, and be ready, because I want to give you information that will help us all grow as we learn God's word together. That's another option for spiritual growth. Number 4, and I don't know specifically of what all these look like, but I want to throw this out there as an option that you may even feel like you want to start yourself. That's one thing I would love to have you contact me and email me or give me a call and say, hey, Pastor Brandon, I've been praying about this. I'd love to be able to meet with so-and-so. Can you give me like some ideas of maybe a book to read or something that we, how can I meet with my friend? We work together and she's really struggling in life. How can I meet one? Yes, my blessing is always going to be on that. My encouragement will always be for you to do those things. But I want us to work together so that we can grow. It doesn't always have to be a formal Sunday night, 6 o'clock, or Thursday night. It doesn't have to be that. Meet together, go meet coffee, go hang out at someone's house and sit in the backyard when it's warm, and enjoy time together studying God's word, reading through different helps and resources and books together. There's accountability partners. There are discipleship groups that are for the purpose of growing, then multiplying, splitting off and growing more. I would love to see our church do more and more and more of those things. But these are all options that can apply to spiritual growth. And finally, and this transitions us to the third G, if you will, gather, grow, and then go. We also grow together as we serve together. We grow together as we serve together. Some of my favorite memories in all of church life, and yes, I've been in church my entire life. I'm 43 years old, so that's 43 years of being in all sorts of different churches. But some of my favorite memories as I look back all the way to my earliest memories of church are doing things with other church people outside of Sunday morning. I'm not discounting Sunday morning. Sunday morning is vitally important to worship together. But some of my favorite memories are going on trips together, on serving together, on helping down the street together, on doing projects and going over to maybe someone's house that's a member of our church that cannot do some projects and doing those things together. And I grow as I serve. I want to see this church grow spiritually as we serve. And that, of course, leads me to the third G, which is to go. What do I mean by go? Here's three options for us. Outreach. What is outreach? I simply define it as local community service projects. I asked us to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and that's where I'm going to read from right now. I will primarily be in two passages of Scripture, but I'll end with a couple quick verses as we close. Ephesians 4, if you're not there yet, verses 11 through 16 is what I plan on reading. I'll explain a few things, and then I'll explain what this means when it connects to our going or outreach. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. And verse 12 says, why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to grow up, to adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness or knowledge, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And then verse 15 says this, but instead, or rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And I'll end with verse 16. From whom the whole body, that's talking about the church, the body of Christ, from whom the whole church body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I talked about that a little bit last week, how the body is only healthiest when each body part is doing what it should be doing. And we, in fact, struggle and we go to the doctor or the hospital when our body parts are not doing what our body parts should be doing. And the church is the same way. We all have a job to do. It may be official, it may be unofficial. But if we're not all doing those things, the body is not as healthy as it could be. I do want us to back up, though, and we read for our call to worship this morning, verses 11 and 12. Why do we have leadership in the church? And you see the list here, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Why? Why did God give churches these leadership positions? Why? The answer is verse 12, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. My job as a pastor is not to do the work of the ministry. That is not what the Bible says. Well, Pastor, we expect you to do this. But that's not my job. My job as a pastor, as a teacher, is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Don't mistake that for what we assume. Well, that's the pastor's job. Well, the pastor better be doing those things. And again, there's a place and a time to say, hey, pastor, we feel like you are not serving. And if you don't serve me, see me serving right alongside with you, you have a right to come to me and say, hey, you're dropping the ball. Because pastors should be servant leaders as well. But too often we default everything to the pastor and say, well, the pastor needs to take care of that. And pastor, why don't you go ahead and lead that? Pastor, go. You just tell me what to do. Right? But the pastor's responsibility is not to do the work of the ministry, to not to do all these outreach local community service projects. That is not my job. Why did God set up a pastor of your church? To prepare and to equip you, the saints, the Christians, the body of Christ, to do the work of the ministry. So my job is not to be here and do everything for you. My job is to work alongside of you and to lead and equip us all so that we all can do the work of the ministry. Let me just stop you right here. If you're expecting Ben to do it all, I can't. You need to find another pastor. I can't. I don't know what you think of me, and I'm kind of scared to ask most opinions of me, but if you're thinking, oh, this guy, he's young, he's got energy, he can do it all, I can't. I love serving. I love serving alongside people. I already get like itchy and impatient when I hear about all these opportunities that this church does with outreach. I cannot and I will not do it all. That's not my job. It is our job collectively to do the work of the ministry. My job is to equip us, to prepare us, to challenge us, to have visions of how we can do things like outreach. But outreach is vitally important. And in fact, we grow as we serve, which is what we see through the rest of this passage. We speak the truth in love, and we grow up, mature spiritual growth, to be more like Christ. If I am like Christ and the rest of the church body is not, I'm failing. Because my job is not to be like Christ for you. My job is to train us all and to grow us all up so that we can all collectively be more like Jesus. The whole body, joined and held together, is healthiest when the whole body is doing what it can be doing. I cannot do it myself. I will not do it myself. Let us serve together. We gather. That seems obvious. We grow. All right, pastor, I guess I begrudgingly see what you mean by I guess I need to take spiritual growth a little more obvious. But go, come on, that's your job. That's what we're paying you for. You go. I cannot and I will not. Here's what I will do. Work alongside you. Serve alongside us. Do all these outreach ministries as we train each other up and as we encourage each other to do the work of the ministry. What's outreach? Outreach is this church going out and serving the community around us. That's how I understand outreach to be. You can define it your own way. When you get to preach up here, you can define it your way. My definition is we're going local community service things. Now, I don't have a whole big list of things to add on to this church. You know why? Because I love the fact, and that's one of the things that drew me to this church, I love the fact that this church does so much already. Already. The men's and women's discipleship groups, Bible studies, already do a lot. The kids' ministries and the Sunday school classes, you are already doing outreach. You're already collecting things and helping out. And everything from the shoebox ministry to going downstairs to, not going downstairs, to going downtown and being able to help out, the food box that we put together that people depend on, those things are outreach. I love that, and I will serve right alongside everyone else in doing those things. I cannot wait for whatever the next work project is. I'll be there. I'm not doing it for you. I will serve alongside you. I love that stuff. That is what attracted me to this church, because I refuse to be a part of a church that is not doing outreach. So we are. This is not me yelling at us, we need to do outreach. We already are. But are you a part of that? Are you a part of going? Do you look forward to jumping in onto a Saturday workday or a Thursday project that we can put together things to be able to help others in need? Or are you, I'll let somebody else do that? I think I'm probably too busy for that. We're all busy. I can think of a lot of excuses to not serve. And so can you. But that's not our job. Our job is to grow together as we serve. Local community service projects are what we're called to do. That is outreach. That is going. But that's not it. Number two is what I call, and this isn't really a word, I don't think, inreach. See, a church does outreach. Good. We should. We will keep that going. We will not diminish our outreach. We should not. We must not. We will do outreach. But what about inreach? And by inreach, I mean the in-house serving. See, some of us, we specialize in serving this church. And some of you are Sunday school teachers that serve this church. And you work in the nursery that serves this church. And you sing in the choir that serves this church. And you work back there at the tech booth. Or you work in the greeting. Or you open the doors for people. And you do all sorts of stuff that serves this church. Good. You should. A healthy church needs inreach as well. Outreach coming out, yes. But there's also inreach. I'm going to ask us to stay in the New Testament and to move towards the back of the New Testament to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. If you've gotten to Jude and Revelation, you've gone a little too far, go backwards a few, and you'll find 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now we'll read two verses here, 10 and 11. And this speaks to us as far as what I mean by inreach, serving our local church here. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. Let me back up to verse 9. Verse 9 should be in here too. Verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Ouch. Don't raise your hands, but I will. I'll admit, I've complained having to serve others before. Have you? Sure we have. Doesn't always fit our schedules. Doesn't always make it easy for us. I wish serving was always easy. It's not. But we're to show hospitality. We're to serve others without complaining, without grumbling. And then verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to, what's the next word? Say it again. We all have gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. What is your job? To sit on it and pout because nobody else is pleasing me. I'm just going to hog it till I get to heaven. Your job is to serve. You use it to serve, but not only just serve in general. What does it say? Serve one another. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as you're being good stewards, good managers of God's varied grace. God has given you resources and grace and talents and skills. So a good manager uses that well. You are called to be a manager of what God has given you, not an owner. You are not an owner. If you've been bought by Christ's blood and his sacrifice on your behalf, you don't own your life anymore. He does. But he's lent it to you to manage well. And so we are stewards of God's grace. Verse 11, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, serve as if you're serving by the strength that God supplies. Why? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Why serve? Well, so that everybody can look at how awesome I am and how I got it all figured out. Hey, everybody, look at my skills. Look at my stuff that I'm able to do. Wrong. Wrong motive. Wrong reason to do it. Some of us may be serving because we're naturally good at that, and we like the pat on the back, and we like the that a boy, and we like the good job, and oh, you're the best at it. Can I admit something? Selfishly, I love that stuff. I love the pats on the back, and oh, Ben, you did a great job, and oh, what an awesome job teaching, and oh, you did this. I love that. I eat that up. I'm selfish. What is the reason we should be serving? So that God gets the glory. Not Ben. Not even First Baptist Church of Fairly. So that God gets the glory. Whether it's outreach in the community, whether it's inreach right here in our church building, in the body, in the ministries that we have here, which are vitally important and that we will keep and we will grow. It's not so people can pat ourselves on the back. It's so that God gets the glory. Are you willing to serve for God's glory as opposed to your own? That is a question I have to ask myself constantly. Ben, why are you doing this? Why are you serving? And oftentimes, my toes get stepped on. I get slapped in the face, so to speak, with God's truth when he says, hey, so you doing that for you? Or are you doing that for me? That's a question we should ask together. But inReach is vitally important. Nursery, children's ministries, youth ministries, music. You see the things I wrote on there. You guys know how to read. You can read all those lists of things, all different ministries that are in-house that are serving here. Those are important. That's how we serve the local body of believers. That's how we serve one another. If you remember me talking last week about one anothering, I turned that into a verb. We need to one another. Can't really one another when we're just myself and I don't care about anybody else. We one another as we serve each other here in the various ministries. Public, private, behind the scenes, in front of everybody, it doesn't matter. So long as each part of the body is doing its job. That makes a healthy church. And so we go. But hopefully in the back of your mind, you're saying, now wait a sec, Ben, you haven't covered all what go means yet, and you would be right. It's outreach. We're strong at that, and we will continue to be strong. It's inReach right here. And I see ourselves growing and doing better at that as well. But there's a third thing that go applies to. And it applies to missions. To missions. You say, well, missions, well, duh, I guess we have to do that, right? The missionaries, and someone's got to help them out, and I'm glad they do that thing. So I guess, yeah, I guess it's important to support missions. Okay, fine. I didn't really consider that as going, but all right, fine. I guess we're helping other people to go. Two verses that I want us to quickly look at, and you can turn there, or you can listen to me read them to you, is Acts 1:8. If you're taking notes, I would just write down the reference there, Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We were called at the very beginning of the church to be witnesses. Everywhere. Not just in Greenbrier County, not just in West Virginia, not just in North America, good old USA, but everywhere. The uttermost parts of the earth. Psalm 96:3 says this, declare his glory among the states? Nope. Declare his glory among West Virginia? Nope. Declare his glory among the nations, the people groups all over the world, every ethnicity and every culture all the way around, yes, the entire globe. We are to declare God's glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Psalm 96:3. Our job is to tell the world who Jesus is. And you say, right, that's right, Pastor. And we got some people who do that, and we're going to support them. And you're partly right. We are going to. What do I mean by go? Missions refers to state, national, and international missions. I think that's kind of obvious. FBC Fairleigh will always support mission efforts. As long as I am a pastor here, missions will be one of the primary things we do. Outreach, inReach, that's not it. And missions. In fact, if you start to sense that we haven't been doing missions for a while or talked about missions for a while, I give you permission to come to me and say, hey, so what's the next plan on missions? Because I may need a reminder about that. Well, we're doing outreach. Oh, we're doing all this stuff in-house. It's easy to be self-focused at what we're doing. But God has given me a heart for the nations of the world and a desire to help in any way I can and in any way we can to serve and to support missions, even international. Two of the ways that we support mission efforts, I think, are pretty obvious. Prayer, financial support. You say, well, I think we already do that. You're right. You do. I have heard in the sermons that I have watched back before I became pastor here, I've heard many, many prayers for all sorts of different local outreach as well as international mission efforts. And those should and they will continue. Financially, the budget brags about how giving this church is to missions, both state, national, and international. I love that. I think that should continue. But that's not the only two ways that we can go serve in missions. The third one would be going and doing missions, like us. Not paying someone else to do it. Not, well, bless you, brother, I'll be praying for you. But us to get off our rear ends and go and do it as well. Just as important as it is for us to do outreach and get off our butts instead of paying somebody else to do it. And just as important as it is for us to be doing in-reach in here instead of applauding those who do, but I ain't doing any of that. As important as it is for outreach and in-reach, it's just as important for us to do missions as well, to share the gospel around the corner and around the world, to share the gospel in your neighborhood and in neighborhoods of other countries around the world. I have a heart for missions, and I want to see this church grow in the heart for missions as well. And that will be something that we talk about in the months and years ahead, of giving us opportunities as a church to go and do missions. That will happen. That will happen. In time, give me patience, it'll happen. And I want to see those of us who are able, because not everyone is able. Not everyone is capable of being able to travel. I understand that completely. I'm not laying on guilt trips for all of us. We all have to sign up for a mission trip. That is not what I said. All of us cannot go. I don't think I can take a group of 150 people to another country. That's a little much for me. But I can't wait to take a dozen or 25 or so and go to different places around the world where we can work alongside the work that is already there. We don't march into another country and say, here we are, here's our money, we're here to save the day. That's not our job. Our job is not to be the American heroes. That's not our job. Our job is to jump in with local work that is already happening and local missionaries who are already doing the job and say, how can we help you? How can we serve you? That's my vision for how we should do missions. To not go in as the heroes, we'll just save the day and then we'll leave and see you maybe next year or maybe never, but to say, how can we serve? I already have contacts. I know there are people here who have contacts and resources and relationships with mission efforts around the world, and those things will continue. We already give missions both to the state as well as the organization to do missions and church planting here in West Virginia. I know that we already give money towards the NAMB, N-A-M-B. You know what that stands for? North American Mission Board. And they obviously do work in North America, Canada, United States of America, some of the other islands and countries around in North America. And they do work both in missions, sending out missionaries, as well as a lot of church planting. And I've partnered with mission trips with them in the past. The IMB is who we give to, and that's International Mission Board. That covers all the other nations of the world. International, like go to another country, like the whole new context and culture, yes, that. And I look forward to being able to lead and serve as we do missions internationally as well. Gather, grow, go. One question for each of these points for us to think as we close. Are you gathering with your local body of believers? Are you gathering with your church family? Is it a priority to you? For most of us, gathering with family during the Christmas time, Thanksgiving, New Year's, that became a priority. That is a priority in your family. You want to be with grandpa and grandma. You want to be with parents. You want to be with your children and grandchildren. You want to see your brothers and sisters. In fact, it's a sad time when some of us go through loss and we lose family members and we realize, oh, we always did this together on Christmas. Oh, Thanksgiving table is not the same without, right? It's a loss. We feel that. Do you feel that same loss when you're not able to gather with your church family, with your spiritual family? Is it a commitment to gather with your church family whenever possible, to be here, to be with your church family, and to see your church family grow? Well, I do it if there's nothing else going on. That just means it's not a commitment for you. I understand the reasons. I understand the difficulties. I really do. I really do. I'm not mocking. But maybe today is a day that you need to recommit the focus on gathering with your church each Sunday, whenever possible, whenever you're well, whenever you're in town. It's just going to be a priority. Some of us need challenged that way. What about growing? Some of us, church is a no-brainer. Anytime, no problem, I'm here. Well, but the spiritual growth, I prefer to do it myself. I don't really want to grow with others. And I would challenge you, we don't see that in the New Testament. We are to grow privately. But in the same breath, we are to grow together with other Christian family members. The body works best when all the parts of the body are serving, are growing together. So are you involved in spiritual growth? Can you say, yes, I'm growing because I'm a part of this study, because I'm a part of this group, because I'm a part of this class? I can see myself growing. I am closer to God than I was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, because I'm growing spiritually. Or are you coasting and you're okay being a baby Christian? And now that grows for all those people who take Jesus seriously. Thank you, Jesus, but I got this from now. I'll take it from here. And you're coasting. I challenge you to grow. Have 2023 be a start to where you say, I'm going to commit to grow. As much as it's a commitment to gather, I need to grow. I want my family to grow. I want my children to grow. I want my spouse to grow. And you're going to make that a commitment. And finally, as we just talked about, go. It's great to just give money and to bless people who do all the going, who do the outreach, who do the inreach, who do the missions. But for some of us, can I say this? It's a bit of a cop-out. We could be doing those things, but oh, we'll just pray for you as you do it. For some of us, we're limited at what we can do. And outreach and inreach and missions is not possible. In that case, please continue to pray and give. The church needs that. Missions needs that. But for some of us, we could. We could serve. We could take part in outreach, inreach, and or missions. We could. Listen, if you think that this church won't let a certain age serve, please come to me. I'll find out how that certain age can serve. If you got a kid who's 6 years old and they want to serve, but there's no way for them to serve, come to me. We'll find something. If you're thinking there's no outlet for me, I feel like there's no way that I can serve. I have a passion for this. You come to me. We'll figure out how we can make your passion to serve. We'll make it happen. Outreach, inreach, missions. Commitment to each of us. And not all of us are the same. Not all of us are on the same level. But you need to check yourself, and you can only speak best for yourself and your motives with gathering, growing, and going. That is a sign of a healthy church. A church that focuses on those importance is a healthy church. This is my goal for First Baptist Church of Fairley. All right, Pastor Matt, what do you have for us? Here's an overarching goal, vision, dream that I have for this church, for this to be a healthy church that gathers, grows, and goes. And I love the fact that the bones and the equipment and the resources, it's basically already here. Let's just do it. And many of you already are. And I will serve right alongside you and equip you and help you and encourage and serve. And I'll be right there doing the same things that we all should be doing together. Let's grow together. Are you gathering? Are you growing? And are you going? I'm going to close this in prayer, but I would say that maybe this time is as a challenge. I've meant this little two-week series to be a bit of a challenge, opening challenge for a new year, for a new pastor, for a new season of all of our lives here at this church, to recommit ourselves to gathering, growing, and going. That's going to be a constant barometer, thermometer, I guess, in my vision for how this church is doing. Pastor Ben, how's your new church? And I'm going to think through, are we gathering? Are we growing? Are we going? And I want to see us continually to get better and better at this. But this is a private time for us. There's nothing holy and super spiritual about coming forward and kneeling or standing here at the steps. That doesn't make you closer with God. But sometimes that uncomfortableness of people might see me makes it more of a real commitment. For others of us, it's fine just to pray and to recommit yourself right there where you stand when we sing the closing song as we're about to. So whether you stand right there, whether you come forward to pray, I will stand down front while Jeff leads the invitation hymn. If you want to come and ask me to pray with you or to talk with you, I would love to do that. I will close this in prayer, and then we will stand to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Whether you recognize that song or not, please pay attention to the words. It's a song of commitment. And this is a time where I want this church to commit to gathering, growing, and going. Let's pray. Lord God, the service is for you. It is not for the attention, for the praise, for the glorification of anyone else. It should not be. It cannot be. And God, just in the same way, our lives are for your service. They are not for our own. Our lives have been bought with a price. Lord Jesus, what you did on the cross that we celebrated with communion last week. And we are simply managers, stewards of what you have given us to do. As we all individually think about our own lives and take stock of how we are doing these things, or maybe how we are not doing these things to grow, I ask that this church collectively and individually sees the importance of gathering together, of making it a commitment to gather, committing to grow, committing to go. We know that just one service or one prayer isn't going to magically snap fingers and everything will be perfect, but I ask that this be a start to a commitment to where this church, as we move ahead into 2023, we can look back a year from now and see how this church has healthily grown in our gathering, in our growing, and in our going. You know the hearts of each one here. May we be open enough and real enough and honest enough with ourselves to see where maybe we fall short in our commitment. And where maybe a new commitment to you at the start of this year is best and needed for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word that corrects and teaches us where we need to correct and where we need to learn. Thank you for being a God that changes. You're not only a God that knows, you're not only a God who sees, you're a God who can do something about it. We ask that you do that in this church. I ask that you do that in the individuals who are here worshiping you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.